It seems that throughout his earthly ministry, some of the religious leaders in the first century, they were actually upset at Jesus for caring too much for the people that he was around. And it's hard for us to imagine someone getting mad at someone else for simply caring about others. But when we read throughout the New Testament, we find several passages where the scribes and where the Pharisees did, in fact, get mad at Jesus for showing too much compassion, for caring too much for those who were lost. The passage that I want us to consider together this morning is the passage that was read for us earlier, the opening verses of Luke chapter 15. And this passage is interesting to me because it's one of those times where Jesus actually responds to his critics. He responds to those who are speaking out against him. And he does so here in Luke 15 with a series of three parables. Now, a parable is basically a short story or an illustration with a double meaning. The word parable means to cast alongside. And so we picture two balls being thrown next to each other. When I think about a parable, I like to think about two people at a bowling alley in lanes right next to each other throwing the ball at the same time down those separate lanes. And in one lane, there's the story. But then in the other lane, there's that double meaning, that hidden meaning, that deeper meaning. We think about the parable of the soils, for example, where a sower went out to sow and the seed fell upon various types of ground. And on the surface, we have a lesson about farming. But we know, of course, that there's a much deeper meaning to that story. And that's what we see here in Luke chapter 15. Jesus is eating with the tax collectors. He's eating with sinners. These are people who weren't religious, but they seem to be seeking. For some reason, whatever the reason may be, they were looking for something more in their life. Maybe the financial rewards of collecting taxes were no longer satisfying to them. Maybe the sinners just couldn't get over the emptiness of their life. And so for whatever reason, these people could see something in Jesus that was missing in their own life. And so the Lord was intriguing to them in some way. They could see that something was missing, something was amiss. And so they came to Jesus and they ate together. They weren't ignoring Him. They weren't avoiding Him. They weren't hostile toward Him. Instead, the tax collectors and the sinners were attracted to Him. And so we wonder why. Why were they, of all people, why were they attracted to Jesus? It certainly wasn't because He was preaching an easy message for them. It wasn't because Jesus was soft on sin. It wasn't because Jesus told them to just keep on doing what it was they were already doing. So why were they spending time with Jesus? I believe they wanted to be with Jesus because they could see that Jesus cared. They could sense the compassion of the Lord. And so here's quite a lesson for us right at the beginning of our study this morning, and that is this. People today should be able to look at us, knowing that we're Christians, they should be able to look at us and they should feel comfortable approaching us with their spiritual needs. They should feel comfortable approaching us as Christians with the concerns that they have in this life. People need to know that we care. And that's what these people seem to have done with Jesus. They were eating together. And that's where the scribes and the Pharisees come in this story. They object. They think that Jesus was doing just a little bit too much communicating. They think that Jesus was showing just a little bit too much compassion. They think that Jesus was caring too much. And so as we study together today, I want us to consider what happens here in Luke chapter 15 as Jesus defends Himself from the accusation that He was showing a little too much concern for these sinners. this morning as we think about Jesus and His loving concern for those who have wandered away, I want us to make four observations based on what was read for us this morning, four very basic ideas that will hopefully encourage us to actually do what the Lord wants us to do. As we look back on the first seven verses of Luke chapter 15, one of the first and most obvious lessons that we find in this text is that souls matter to God. In fact, every soul is valuable. Every soul has value. Notice in the parable, Jesus turns the focus back to the scribes and the Pharisees. In other words, this wasn't just a generic story about some anonymous shepherd out there somewhere, but Jesus starts out by saying in verse 4, "What man of you?" And so this parable is one that's very personal. He's talking to specific people here. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? So here at the beginning, I want us to focus on the scenario with 100 sheep. And I want to ask, if you had sheep, how would you know that you had 100? And if you had 100 sheep, how would you know that one was missing? It seems that you would have to be in the habit of doing some counting. Is that too simple? If I have 100 sheep, for me to know that one is missing, I have to be counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 97, 98, 99. Oh no! One of the sheep is missing. That's the only way that a shepherd can truly know if one sheep out of 100 is missing. It's by counting. If I have 100 $1 bills in my wallet, the only way that I would know one was missing is by counting. Now, to a great many of us, probably, to lose one out of 100 of something isn't necessarily a big deal. We might think that a wealthy shepherd would just write that off. Well, 1 out of 100, that's not too bad. That's just the cost of doing business. After all, I still have 99 sheep. But Jesus says this shepherd was concerned about every sheep. This isn't like a final exam in school. In my opinion, 99% on an exam is pretty good. I'd be thrilled with 99%, but that's not the case with God. God's not satisfied with knowing that 1 out of 100 is lost, because every soul is valuable. And I'd also point out that in the next two parables in Luke chapter 15, the percentage grows. You ever thought about that? Right here we're talking about 1 out of 100. The next parable is about a woman who loses 1 out of her 10 coins. And then the last parable in this chapter is about a man who loses 1 out of his 2 sons. And the point of each parable is the same. No matter what's lost, the main character in each parable goes out looking for it. And overall, the main reason is that every soul is valuable. Remember the scribes and the Pharisees. They were upset that Jesus was spending so much time reaching out to sinners. Jesus responds, though, with these three parables, teaching that one lesson: every soul is valuable. It'd be like getting ready for bed at the end of the day and realizing that one of our children is missing. Hopefully none of us would say, well, you know, 1 out of 2... that's not too bad. Only one of my children is missing. Only one of my children is locked outside in the darkness. We never say that. And the same thing goes if we were to have 10 children or 100 children. And in the same way, God's not content with just a few. He's not even content with many. But He wants everybody to be saved. No matter the percentage, the shepherd misses the one. who is lost. There's no sheep that the good shepherd is willing to just let go. No sheep that he's willing to give up on. No sheep that he's willing to hand over. The good shepherd is torn up over that one who is lost and will not rest until he finds it. Every soul is important to God. And hopefully we can see how this applies to us today. We're never going to be able to adequately communicate our love and concern for others until we understand, just as God does, that every soul is important. Every soul has value. Souls matter to God, and souls ought to matter to us as well. I want to encourage you sometime this week when you're home to take out a copy of your church directory and look through it, pray through it. Pay attention to those souls who are missing. Last week, I took a few minutes and I flipped through the latest edition of our Jiffy directory, and I counted all the souls that are listed in that book. Not just what we might consider actual members, but every name in there, including the families, including even the littlest ones. You know how many I counted? 365. 365 people who are in some way connected to the Boulevard family. And when even one is missing, we need to have the same concern that Jesus had here in this text, because souls matter to God. We go back again to our text in Luke 15. There's a second basic idea we find in this paragraph, and it's a reminder that sheep have a tendency to wander. We know that sheep have a way of wandering off. Sheep have a way of getting lost. And unlike the coin that was lost because of someone's carelessness, unlike the son who willingly stomped off in a huff, the sheep in this parable simply drifted. There's no indication in this passage that the sheep was mistreated by the rest of the flock. As far as we know, this particular sheep didn't want to be lost. Instead, it simply wandered away, eating as it went, just quietly looking for something better, wandering. And sheep, we know, have a tendency to do that. They look down at the ground, they go from patch of grass to patch of grass until they suddenly look up and they realize they're in some serious trouble. Sheep have been known to eat their way right off the edge of a cliff. As most of us know, sheep have no real defense mechanism against predators. They don't have fangs. They don't have horns. They don't have giant claws. They don't have venom. There's no hard shell like a turtle. There's no quills like on a porcupine. There's no great speed to be able to outrun a predator. But they just eat themselves out into the middle of nowhere until there's suddenly a tasty meal for some other creature. And there's nothing they can do about it. Sheep aren't generally vicious creatures. You look at sports teams, mascots, and you don't find a whole lot of sheep out there. Sheep aren't really that intimidating, are they? They tend to wander and find themselves in trouble. And we see the same thing happening in a spiritual sense. The Bible says that we as Christians are sheep. And even today, we have a way of snacking ourselves right out of God's church. A little nibble here, a little nibble there. The pleasures of this life, a good job, fun activities, sports for the kids, a good education, a little less Bible study, a little less prayer, a little less Christian fellowship. And before we know it, we're stuck out on some boulder somewhere and we have no idea what we're going to do. We think about the prophet Isaiah and what he said in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. thinking that life is going to be so much better somewhere out there, we tend to wander. We tend to drift, nibbling here and there until we're gone. And then once we're gone, there's often guilt. Guilt over how we left. Guilt over what we did while we were away. And over time, it gets more and more difficult to find our way back. And unlike some other animals, sheep have no real sense of direction. Dogs and cats, they sometimes will find their way back home. But sheep, they wander. And they have no clue where they've gone. They have no clue how they've gotten there and no clue how to get back. And that's about where we are, isn't it? That's why we need a shepherd. The shepherd leads us. The shepherd keeps us safe. But the point here is sheep wander. They wander just like we do. We go back again to Luke chapter 15. And we find a third basic concept in this passage. And the lesson here comes from the shepherd himself. And it's this. Make the effort. We must make an effort. Once the shepherd realizes a sheep's missing, a good shepherd is going to do something. A good shepherd is going to make the effort. And I know I've been saying that a good shepherd or a shepherd will be doing these things, but we probably ought to widen this up a little bit because I believe that's what Jesus does in this parable. Remember at the beginning of the parable, Jesus is speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, What man of you wouldn't do this? In other words, this is something that all of us need to be doing. And the question here is this. Who among us, if we had 100 sheep and we noticed that one was missing, who among us wouldn't drop everything and go out and look for it? Well, the right answer, the assumed answer here is all of us would go out looking for it. All of us would drop everything and we would spare no effort. If the family dog goes missing, we all go out looking. And if we would do that for a dog or if we would do that for a sheep, wouldn't we do it for a Christian brother? Wouldn't we do it for a Christian sister? We certainly would do it for a member of our own physical family. If somebody in my family doesn't show up for dinner one night, we don't just go on as if nothing's wrong. But we would tear the world apart trying to figure out where they are. We'd make calls. We'd call the authorities. There would be an Amber Alert issued. We'd put up posters. We'd post on social media. We'd be out there on the radio. We'd be on the television. We wouldn't rest until the lost had been found. In a similar way, the man in the parable, he didn't just sit around waiting, but he made an effort. He went out looking, and as he searched, you can be sure that this shepherd went places that he had never been before, that he didn't normally go, up into the hills, into the valleys, across streams, looking carefully in every gorge and in every canyon. When we think about what Jesus actually did, traveling right up through the middle of Samaria, a land where the Jews didn't go, but he did, and he did it to connect with a Samaritan woman who is coming to get water at the well in John chapter 4. We think about Jesus changing his plans one day so that he could eat in the home of Zacchaeus. That's in Luke chapter 19. And this is his entire life. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Luke 19 verse 10. If Jesus had been concerned about his own comfort, well, he would have just stayed in heaven. But because he loved us so much, he came here, where he wasn't comfortable. He came here for us. And in the same way, we go looking for others, even when it might make us a little bit uncomfortable. And with Jesus, there was this sense of urgency in this parable. The shepherd knows that when a sheep goes missing, time is of the essence. That defenseless animal is out there on his own. There's no time to spare. And notice the action in verse 4. Any reasonable person would go after a lost sheep until it's found. Time is critical. A lost sheep is basically a dead sheep unless it's found quickly. Now this word that we find in our text translated as lost is the same word that Peter would use over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That word perish in 2 Peter 3 is the same word we find as lost in Luke chapter 15. And this urgency is tied to the value that we place on what's lost. You know, if I mention that a quarter fell out of my pocket on the way into the building this morning from my car, there might be a few kids after services who would walk around and look for it a little bit, but it wouldn't be a great concern. But if I say a $100 bill fell out of my pocket, some of you might get up right now and go look. The difference is in the value. One is worth searching for. We search for the things that we value. And so when we value a soul the same way that the Lord values souls, we make an effort. We go out searching. We call. We visit. We come up with a plan, and we don't stop until the lost has been found. Let's not call off the search before anybody goes out looking. As we think about searching here, as we think about following the example that we see in this parable, let's not get discouraged. Sometimes it might be easy for us to get a little bit overwhelmed. And so I suggest at least starting somewhere. Pray for a lost friend. Pray for a lost member of the family. And then decide to do something. Think about our own church directory. Make a point of reaching out to at least one person this week. Maybe somebody who's not here with us this morning. Reach out to them and let them know they're missed. Reach out and encourage them to return. Let's care enough to communicate our loving concern for others. This passage teaches us that. We're to make an effort. One more time, we go back to Luke chapter 15. We see one more lesson. And that's this: when the lost sheep is found, rejoice. Notice what happens here. The text says, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. We don't see any scolding here. We don't see any punishment. We don't see a massive guilt trip being laid on this sheep for all the effort, all the time, all the worry that went into this search. There's no "I told you so's." There's no name calling. But instead, the shepherd carries this sheep home on his shoulders. And he's rejoicing. And when he gets home, he invites everybody over so they can rejoice together. And to make sure that the scribes and Pharisees understand what this parable is really about, Jesus drives it home in verse 7. He says, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And he doesn't even leave it there. But he goes on to tell two more parables with the same message. The woman who loses one of 10 coins tears the house apart to find it and calls her neighbors over to celebrate. And then this young man who demands his inheritance early. Then he blows it on wild living. He comes to his senses. He comes home. And guess what? He's embraced by his father, who throws a huge celebration, a huge party to celebrate his return. we know what Jesus is talking about. Most of us, we have found something that we've spent some time looking for. And we know the sense of relief when we find it. You ever lost your cell phone? Maybe you retrace your steps. Maybe you go everywhere you've been that day and you finally find it. And guess what? It's always in the last place you look, right? But when you find it, you're pretty happy about that. If we're happy about a phone, then how much happier should we be about a soul? On the screen here is a rather famous sheep. This is Shrek the sheep. And he wandered off some time ago from his flock in New Zealand. He wasn't found for nearly 6 years. For 6 years, Shrek the sheep hid in caves to avoid being captured. When they finally found him, they sheared him. And his wool weighed in at 60 pounds. He became a national icon in New Zealand. The shearing took place on national television. He was taken to Parliament and he met the Prime Minister. Now you know his shepherd was happy to find his lost sheep. But don't you imagine that Shrek was pretty happy as well? That's a lot of weight to be carrying around all those years. The point is, lost souls, like sheep, they're worth searching for. Lost souls, like sheep, they're worth finding. And lost souls, like sheep, they are worth rejoicing over once they're found. As we close this morning, we have a challenge. When a sheep goes missing, we can ignore it or we can do something about it. The Lord wants us to do something. There's no secret to this other than showing compassion for the one who has wandered away, caring enough to communicate our concern, our love for that one who has wandered away. And the good news for all of us is that Jesus is the shepherd. And He's been looking for us since before the beginning of time. He came to this earth and He offered His life on the cross. He is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And He doesn't trick us. He doesn't trap us into following Him. But He gives us an invitation to follow. An invitation that we're passing along today from the Word of God. If there's something that's holding you back, we'd love to talk to you about it this morning. If we can pray for you about something, we hope that you'll let us know. The good news, though, is that Jesus died for our sins, that He was buried and that He was raised on the third day. And we respond to that sacrifice by making an appeal for a good conscience. We call out to God in the act of baptism. We turn away from sin and we allow ourselves to be buried with Christ in water so that our sins can be forgiven. Colossians 2 verse 12 says that then we're raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Are you here this morning needing to obey the gospel? Do you need the prayers of the church on your behalf? Whatever your need may be, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, He invites you. Won't you come as we stand and sing together?